So this is part of Jesus' discussion with some people who are questioning him. Whenever they question him, usually they weren't questioning him because they wanted information from him or they wanted knowledge from him. They usually wanted to trip him up. Usually they wanted to discredit him in some way. And this is one of those times when they were asking us, hey, tell us really who you are. If you're the Son of God, you know, tell us who you are. And this is part of what Jesus answered. In verse number 25, John chapter 10, it says, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow, and they follow. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. The question that comes up in everyone's mind is, how do I hear the voice of God? Because Jesus is very plain. He says that if you are my sheep, you will hear my voice. It's not a question of whether we should or shouldn't. If you're his sheep, and we all are, we have accepted Christ as our Savior, we are his sheep. So how do we hear his voice? There are good answers to this kinds of questions. We need to be aware of them so that we don't miss it. Because essentially, God, you can think of the way God speaks as kind of like a radio signal. And this analogy is used very often. It's very appropriate. A radio signal is being broadcast at all times. A radio signal is all around you. Right now, radio frequencies are bouncing off our bodies, are bouncing off this building. They're all around us. You don't see them, but they are there. I could show you that they're there. I could prove to you that they're there. If you had a radio right now and you turned it on, you would pick up something. The radio doesn't make them appear. The radio is the one that receives the waves that are out there. God is the same way. He's always broadcasting. He's always talking. He's always trying to get through to us. His voice is being heard throughout the earth. The Bible even tells us that there is no place where his voice is not heard. He is broadcasting all the time. The question is, are we receiving? Are we tuned in? Do we have our antennas, so to speak, lined up so that we can hear what he is saying? So we need to know what he is saying, when he is saying it, and how it comes across. We need to be able to tune the dial into the right place, the right frequency, so that we can find where his voice is. You know how it goes. If you're riding down the highway and you have the radio on, and the farther you get away from a signal, you might be listening to Moody from Chicago, and the farther you get away, the more staggy it becomes. And the farther you get away, you might hear it less, and finally, it gets so annoying, the static, you just turn it off. And sometimes the noise is just, the noise around you when you're listening might be so great that you can't hear it in between all the noise, and these same things happen to us. The voice of God might be so staticky that you just turn to another channel. And you might just turn to your own wisdom. And you might turn to the wisdom of things that you've heard or things that you've read in some self-help book. You might just turn somewhere else. Because you can't hear very clearly. God is all staticky to you. You can't tune in enough. And you might turn somewhere else. Or maybe the noise around you is so great that you just can't hear God among all the other things, because there are many voices in this world. The Bible tells us that. There's voices all around us. There's voices bombarding us in many ways, in many shapes, in many forms, many entrances for those voices nowadays. And we need to know which one's God. And we need to know which one we can trust. And so there are ways of knowing. Some of them are very simple, but you need to understand that these are the way God can communicate. There are probably more than these, but these, if you get some of these, then you'll be in good shape. We're only going to cover a couple today. The first one is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. This is what it says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof or correction or instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, or woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. One of the main ways, and I would say probably the main way God communicates to us is through His Scripture. Through this Bible, it was given to us to help be a light and a guide to us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It was given to us to guide us and direct us. Now, when we were kids, we were often taught all the neat little Bible stories. If you were fortunate enough to grow up in a church situation, you heard all the stories. You knew about David and Goliath, and you knew about Noah, and you knew about all different stories, and they were neat little stories, and they stuck in our minds. But when we're older, we eventually have to turn these stories into situations and lessons that can be applied to our lives. It's not good enough to just know the stories of the Bible. You need to know how that it is going to create change in your thinking, in your acting. You need to... I know that many times it is very easy to begin to read the Bible as a thing to do in your day. I'm going to read 3 chapters. I'm going to read 5 chapters. I'm going to read 10 chapters. I'm going to spend 10 minutes in a devotion. I'm going to spend... And that's all well and good. No problem with that. The reason we read the Bible is so that it can change our lives. The reason we read the Bible is so it can change our character. The reason we read the Bible is so that it can change our actions, so that we can know how to act and react through our daily lives. It's no longer just stories. When we read through the Bible, we should be looking for little pearls of wisdom for how we can behave in our lives. How our character should change. It should be a mirror to us as we examine ourselves. As we examine ourselves and say, this is where I fall short. I need to change this. Because this is what the Bible said. God is speaking to us through His Word. And He's telling us. This is the way to handle this type of situation. This is the way to handle this type of person. This is the way to behave when you come across this type of situation in your life. It is not just a collection of stories. It is, the Bible is telling us how we should live our life, how we should direct ourselves. Some things are very easy to follow. Some things are very direct, and some things are very easy to follow. The Ten Commandments, we all get it. We should not steal, we should not murder, we should not commit adultery. We understand those. Those are very easy to follow. And we say we got those. Because they're very direct. Others, they might be direct, but they might not be easy to follow. Forgiveness, not so easy. Being meek, not so easy. Pretty direct, but not so easy. It's easy to understand that that's the way we should be, but it's not as easy to actually do it. And then we come to other things in the Bible that do not necessarily speak. There is nothing which tells us, there is nothing which says how to handle a situation in our day and age. The Bible was written thousands of years ago. And now we have advanced in our culture, we have advanced in so many things. There are things that the Bible could not necessarily address specifically, but what we do in those cases is we draw parallels. We draw parallels to what the Bible is saying in the situations in the Bible and our life. So we read the Bible very often to see how people dealt with and how God dealt with people and what God required of people and how people that were godly men and women dealt with people in the similar situations to us. And this is how we act. This is how we react. This is how, these are the things that we let guide us. Because the Bible is how God speaks to us and speaks to our situations. So we see, for instance, when David, a very common situation in all of our lives is people eventually, somewhere along the line, we don't want it to happen, but it seems to always happen, people will unjustly accuse us. They might slander us. They might be doing unjust acts towards us. And David had these very things happen to him. Saul was after him because he was jealous of him. Saul was looking to kill him unjustly, even though David served so faithfully. Not just served faithfully, he served admirably. Saul's kingdom, and Saul was out to get him. And we look at our lives and we say, well, I've been treated unjustly in this case. I've been treated unfairly in this case. I've been talked about. I've been slandered. People have come against me for no reason. I'm not even sure why they don't like what I'm doing. I'm not sure why they don't like me. How am I supposed to act? Well, we go right to the Bible and we look at the parallel. David, he had that exact situation. How did he react? How did he respond? What did he do? And the Bible is our light. And the Bible is our God. And God's voice comes to us through that situation. And we can find many others. We understand what David did. David didn't do the normal thing. David didn't do what comes so natural to us. He didn't lash out at him. He didn't lash out. He didn't respond in kind. He didn't take vengeance for himself. What he did was he turned it over to God and let God take care of it. He actually responded in kindness to Saul. And we say, well, that makes no sense. That goes against everything in my being. I don't want to respond that way. And the voice of God comes through his word and says, this is the example I give you how to act. Because Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. And his voice comes through the scripture. And the Bible tells us how to treat people who are self-righteous. The Bible tells us how to treat people that are of the world, that aren't in, that haven't understood Christ yet. You know, the Bible says that we should not judge the people of the world at all. They don't have God. Why should they behave like they do? And the Bible tells us clearly, don't judge anybody outside the church. And shockingly, the Bible tells us when you're in the church, you should be judged by those inside. In a loving way, not in a condemning way. The Bible says that. And it's so important to know what the Bible says, because if you don't understand what the Bible says, you will adopt what the world says. All those other voices, all those other things that come out and they bombard you, you'll begin to think that those are right. You'll begin to think that those are the correct, that's what we should do. That last example is a perfect example. Because over and over, you'll hear people say, no, we shouldn't judge anybody. Then actually, Paul says, no, if you're outside the church, you're absolutely right. Don't judge anybody. Inside the church, he says, we should do that. Because we are to hold each other to the standard of God. But if you don't know the word of God, you'll hear that and you'll say, that makes a lot of sense. You'll hear the word of God, no one should judge anyone ever. And you'll hear people say that all the time. It's not the Bible. The Bible says something different. And that's why we read the Bible to understand how to act and how to react and what we should do and what we shouldn't do. What's in bounds, what's out of bounds. The Bible tells us to react in love and in all cases. So we get that voice of God through the scriptures. And sometimes when you're reading the Bible, sometimes God will just highlight a verse, and sometimes it's like you've never seen that verse before. And it might apply exactly to your situation. Have you ever had that happen? It's really neat when it does. You're calling out to God and you're praying for some sort of revelation, and all of a sudden you see a verse that you've never seen before. It's like, did God just throw that in there? Did that just appear in the Bible? And you know it's a word from God right to you about your specific situation, and you hold on to it and you stand on it And sometimes it doesn't come to pass right away, but other times it does. And if it doesn't, through the times where there's difficulties, you just stand on that word. You stand on that word. When things don't look like they're going to go that way, you keep standing on the word of God, and you say, God, I know that you spoke to me your word, because this is one of the ways that God speaks to us, and his know his voice. And you hold on, and you hold on to the promises of God. That's a promise of God from him to you, and it applies to you. It might not apply to anybody else, but you will know because your spirit is alive. And it knows that verse is for me. That verse is for me. And it might come in a phrase that you've been praying to God, and all of a sudden you'll see that phrase in the Bible, and you'll see a direction, and you'll see something, and you'll know this is for me. And that's God speaking to you. That's God trying to get through to you. Because his sheep hear his voice. I would actually say it's a good exercise for each one of us to go through out our day and at various times and various situations as you act and react. Sometimes just pull back and say, is my action, is what I just did in line with the Bible? Can I back up what I just did and how I acted and how I reacted? Is there something in the Bible which parallels what I just did? Think about it. This is a guide to your life. Is my reaction, did I just react to my boss? Did I just react to my coworker? Did I just react to my mother? Did I just react to my kids the way the Bible says I should? Is there something, is there some verse, is there some principle that Jesus taught, or something in the Old Testament, or something that Paul taught, or one of the other writers of the Bible, is there something that I could point to and say, this is why I act the way I act? It's a good exercise to do that, to make sure that you're in line with what the Bible says you should be doing. It ends up being our decision whether we want to follow what God says, what the Bible tells us to do, whether we want to follow the voice of God, or whether we want to follow the voice of ourselves. We still have that option. We could turn, if we don't want to hear God, we can just turn the channel. And many people do. They just turn the channel. I'll listen to something else. I'm not sure I like what's coming over that signal. I'll just turn to another channel. And it's our decision. We get to choose what we listen to. A second way, not as concrete as the scripture itself, is signs that usually come in confirmation to what God wants us to do. God speaks to us in signs. God speaks to us in ways and lets us and gives us signs that might be circumstantial, but very applicable to our lives. These you need some examples for. I'll tell you, when we were buying the house, when Fran and I were buying the house that we're currently in, we didn't really need another house, but we felt the prompting of God that He was leading us to get one. There were some reasons. But we really didn't need another house. And so we went and looked at one, and we knew that one wasn't for us. We went into another place, and we're still wrestling with the idea, do we really need another house? Is it really for us? We want to follow God because we're content with what we have. We don't need anything more. We don't need anything different. And so we walk into this place. We walk into this home. And this home had all of our stuff. That home actually had our things. That home had our plates. That home had our rugs. That home had our custom window treatments, which my mother-in-law made for us. They had our stuff. I remember they had our artwork on the walls. They had, my mother had given us this candle. It was this very unique candle holder, probably about 50 years old. I've never seen one since, not that I'm a big candle person. But I had never seen one like it, and they had our candle, a 50-year-old candle, sitting in their house. Fran was upstairs looking at one of the bedrooms, and she called me up to the room, and she said, "You see this bedroom set?" And I said, "Yep." And she said, "This is the bedroom set that my sister said she is going to give us. This is the bedroom set that I had when I was a kid." Bedroom set. They had our bedroom set. When they moved out, we moved the exact same bedroom set into the same indentation in the carpet. In fact, one of the little knobs that goes on one of the poles or posts at the end, it fell off when they were leaving. And Fran picked it up and brought it in the house and said, "Who dropped this?" And it was because it fits on our bedroom set, but really they dropped it. It wasn't ours. They had the exact set. I mean, if there is any sign that says God is telling us, "Yeah, this is your house," that was it. That was it. They had our set. It was like God was saying, "This is what it's going to look like when you move in." It was a circumstantial sign. It was one of those signs that God just gives us. And this one you had to be blind not to see it. But it was so clear. We were going to make a major decision, and God said, "Here, I'm putting my stamp on it. It's yours. Do it." And so when we understood that, what it did was when we went into the negotiation of the price of the home, we basically said, "This is what we're paying, and if the owner doesn't like it, then we're not gonna budge at all." And that's what we did. And because it was from God, the person said, "Okay." They kept saying, "Are you really, that's all you're going to do?" And the realtor trying to convince and all this stuff. And we just said, "No, that's what we're going to do. That's it. If it's God, He'll make it happen." And God made it happen. Circumstantial signs. It gives you comfort. It gives you faith to believe this is what God wants, so He'll take care of all the details. And that's exactly what He did. It's awesome. But you have to listen. You have to know. You have to turn your dial to the right place. You have to turn it to the right channel and say, "This is who I'm listening to. I'm listening for God. I'll listen to His word. I'll listen to Him broadcasting through circumstantial signs as well." Now, some people take this too far. Some people will take it too far, and they'll look for anything to back up what they want. Some people will do almost anything to back up what they want. I heard a song on the radio. Well, you can hear a song on the radio and tell you almost anything. Whatever you want, you'll hear a song on the radio which backs it up. It might not be the best thing to do that. I'm not saying God doesn't speak that way, because He can. But I'm saying when you look for something that you need to make sure that your voice is not clouding out the voice of God. Because it can. Too much noise, too many voices. Your voice could be in there as well. You need to look for what God is doing. You need to look for what God is saying. And is it really a God thing? And this happens to us. This happens to us very often, because we're looking for things. I'll give you another example. We were going to take a vacation. It was last year. And so we weren't sure about it. My job, actually, the company had not been very stable for several years. There had been no bonuses of any sort for several years. All of a sudden, nothing really has changed with the financial stability of the company. And all of a sudden, they give us a bonus which covers exactly what we need to go on vacation. Jesus. Here's your voice. I hear your voice, Lord. I hear your voice. It's okay. So we go.
Right? That's God speaking to us through signs. Through signs. I'll tell you one more thing. We have a friend. He's a pastor in Texas, and before he was married, he tells the story that he was asking God, "Is this the woman that I am supposed to marry? Is this woman?" And they said her name. "Is this woman for me?" And he's driving down the highway somewhere, down a road somewhere in Texas, not a highway, which is very popular, but he's driving down the road. And he's asking God, "Is this person the one for me?" He said this actually happened. I might not remember it totally, but he said that in the middle of the road, written in chalk, it says, "Tracy is the one." He's like, "Okay, I got it. In the middle of the road, God actually sends him a sign. It is a sign. It is a written sign in the middle of the road. And of course they're married. And they have been married for many years. Circumstantial signs. This is one of the ways that God speaks to us. This scripture, another way that God speaks to us. We just need to be able to listen. We just need to know how he speaks to us, so we can tune our radio to the right frequency. So we can look in the right place. We don't have to look in the wrong places, because it's so easy to look in the wrong places. But when we know how God speaks, we can look in the right places. We can even ask God to speak to us in certain ways, in certain things. "God, speak to me." And then you start looking, and then you start listening, and then you start paying attention. Because Jesus said, "My sheep will know my voice. They will hear me." And we want to be people that hear God's voice and understand what he's saying. And then when he speaks, we want to hold on to it. We want to hold on. We want to have faith. We want to see God move. We want to believe and trust in God, even if it's something that we don't necessarily understand at the time. We hold on. We believe, and we see God's results in our life. His name be praised.